In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, when something is repeated in the Scriptures, it's important. Today, we have the story about the Last Judgment. It's almost spoken of like a parable, with this dialogue that probably won't occur, because the Last Judgment will be instantaneous, like lightning. Everything will be revealed all at once. We will know everything about what we did and what we didn't do. And we will know that the Lord knows, because He will be before our face. But this story is told in a parable kind of way. Everything about it is dogmatically true. But this dialogue is told twice. The things that the Lord singled out, He singled out two times, to the righteous and to the unrighteous. This is very, very important. We should understand the meaning behind this. It's not really that these particular things must be done in order to be saved. These particular things are part of what overall must be done to be saved. And that is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And, because of loving Him, fulfilling the second commandment, which is like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. All of these things that the Lord mentioned are acting out of love for neighbor. Now, don't be mistaken. There is going to be a judgment. It will be at the end of time, when the Lord comes with a shout from the air over the Mount of Olives, and instantaneously all those that are dead will rise up and join then, and then the living will join them in the air, and then comes the judgment. And in the judgment, all is revealed. There are no more secrets. There are no more excuses. All is revealed. Everything about ourselves, what we did and didn't do, what was important to us, and what was not important to us, will be revealed. Now, what is important to us is not what we say, it's what we do. It's how we act. It's how we order our lives. And all that will be revealed in the judgment. And the Lord chooses to describe this judgment as a dialogue between the Lord and those that are being judged, the sheep and the goats. So He says, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," to the sheep. And He goes on to say, "For I was hungered and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and ye came unto me." Excuse me. And then the righteous answer Him. They don't understand. They say, "Lord, when did we see you hungered and we fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or when we saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" Why do they answer like this? They answer like this to prove a point. The Lord is trying to show, we don't do these things for the sake of having done them. It's not a list of things that we must do. The righteous were not trying to say, "Okay, now I have to feed the hungry, and now I have to go and clothe the naked, and I got to visit somebody in prison next week." It grew out of their love for God. And their love for God was so all-consuming that they had something that was akin to a divine forgetfulness. They would do good and not remember it. They would not take credit for it. It would not be something that would make them proud. Because, of course, all good we do is as filthy rags before the Lord, comparatively. And yet the Lord considers what we do precious also. But we shouldn't consider it to be precious. We should just live according to the gospel and love God with all of our heart, and out of that love comes these things. Now, if you do not care about your fellow man, if you rarely do anything for anybody, if basically you kind of live in your own kind of bubble, then you should be very afraid. Because how can you express the love for God without expressing love for man? The second commandment is, as it were, our schoolmaster to teach us how to love God. St. John says, how can you love God whom you have not seen if you do not love your neighbor whom you have seen? So it is critical to care about your neighbor. As far as these specific things, there's 1,000 others that we must do also. But it's not for the sake of doing specific acts that we are saved. It's because of our love for God. And our love for God makes us love those whom He loves, which are His creatures. And so the righteous have a sort of forgetfulness. They don't remember when they did this and that. All they know is their life is to love God and act out of love for God. Then all of these works happen because of our love for God. That's why the righteous ask this question, to show us that the aim of our life is not the doing of certain things. It's the becoming something. Becoming like Christ. Emulating Him. Loving Him. Loving God in such a way that we are consumed by His love. And then His love will motivate us to do all these things and much more besides. But you can kind of turn this a little bit and say that you must do things to love God. Because St. John says, if you say you love God but you don't love your neighbor, you're a liar and the truth of God is not in you. So we must reach out to our fellow man in every possible way. In things, ways great and small. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. How about being kind to those who are not kind to us? How about reaching out to the person who's just a little weird in the office that nobody talks to and that you don't really like to talk to either because they kind of are a little boring? How about those kind of people? Really, it's all about loving your neighbor, because if you don't love your neighbor, you can't learn to love God. It's easy to love someone who's not present. And of course, God is present, but there's sort of a mist that comes over our eyes. He's present, but He's not making Himself absolutely known to us. If He were in the room, we would do everything He said. Well, He is in the room, but we don't see Him in the room, so we do things that we shouldn't be doing. But our neighbor is always with us. And so we must consider our neighbor to be a gift from God. Especially those of our neighbors whom we don't get along with, or who mistreat us, or who are unkind to us, or who are dishonest with us. Those people are the most important, and you must be kind to them. And also, the examples given are people who could not give back. You give to people who cannot give back. The Lord was very clear that even the evil give good things to their children. Even sinners do that. We are to give good things to people that can't or won't give back. Truly, this is the path to eternal life. Because eternal life is the learning to fulfill the great commandment and the one that is like it. God will help us to do it. But if we are indifferent to our brother, both on the great high level and on the low level, on the day-to-day level, then we do not love God. Now, the Lord then says to the ones that are being judged that they will be to depart into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then He explains why. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not." Exactly the same list of things he said to the righteous, except in this case he said that they did not do these things. And the unrighteous also had a forgetfulness, but this was not a divine forgetfulness. This was because in their life they lived arrogantly, they didn't live carefully, and they didn't see when people had needs. And so they asked the Lord, "When did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in prison?" And he answers them in the same way that he answered the righteous. "When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." Now, we're presented with two types of forgetfulness. One will save you, and one will send you to the pit of hell. We should forget our good works. We shouldn't take credit for them. We shouldn't think that we're anything special because of what we do, because we're not. But we should be motivated to do them because of love for God. If you do not have this love for God in your heart, then you will be oblivious to for the most part to your neighbor. Or perhaps you'll do something here and there, and perhaps that will assuage your conscience. But if you look carefully at your life, if you look really carefully, there are many opportunities to love your neighbor that you do not take advantage of. And we must take advantage of every single one. And then sort of paradoxically forget that we even did it. This is the royal path to salvation. For our love for God to so outshine everything else that we don't even notice the things we do. We just go from one thing to another because of love for God. And in loving God, we love neighbor. This is the path we must follow. Now, there's a lot of things that are wrong with our lives. But if we at least love our neighbor, God will love us. God will help us. I've told you many times, and it's very important. If you can't stop sinning, and that applies to all of us, at least be kind. Love covers a multitude of sins. How can we know God if we don't love? It's not possible. Since God is love, we cannot know Him without loving. So, we're about to enter upon Great Lent. We should have more fasting than we normally do. We should pray more fervently, both at home and in the services. We should be giving alms, increasing our reading of sacred scripture and other holy books. All those things we should do. But if they do not make you kinder, they're all for naught. If you don't have more love in your heart for your neighbor because of these things, then it's all for naught. Because the purpose of your life is to become like Christ. Otherwise you can't know Him. And Christ loved His brethren to the extent that He was willing to die for them. So must we. So let us, during this period of Great Lent, do all of our spiritual exercises. If you're not doing more during Great Lent, you're really missing an incredible opportunity. But the purpose of doing these things is so that your heart softens a little bit and it becomes more like God's heart, with more love in it. Love for God, and then, of course, because of love for God, love for neighbor. That's how you should measure yourself. Do you love your neighbor? May God help you. May God help us to love our neighbor in every way. Amen.